This is Lou Elizondo, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. And for the second time this week, breaking news, breaking breakdown update pod, as the world goes a little bit mad and Mexico says, hold my beer to the US.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. This could be bad. Dan joins me, as always, to have a look at what's been another wild couple of days. And do you know what I thought just before, Dan, I hit record? I was like, if this was 23 years ago and newsletters and magazines were still how people found out their news, can you imagine the postage costs for everyone like sending newsletters around the planet going, oh God, more stuff's happened? And like 6 weeks after the date, you go, oh wow, someone in Mexico wheeled out an alien body. That's incredible. And then like 5 months after that, you find out in the Christmas update that, turns out, spoilers, it's not an alien body. That might upset some people, but we'll get to that. Just before we start, quick get well to Gary, one of my friends who listens to the podcast. He's a Patreon, grew up working with him. He's been taken into hospital and nothing too serious, but this might be the last time he listens to us.
I hope he's laughing.
Do you know what? And I only say that, and he'll laugh at this. One of my good mates has taken his concert ticket that he was meant to be going to see a gig tonight. So it can't be that bad that one of my friends has literally stolen his concert ticket to go to a gig he can't make. So,
well, I hope that's not the last thing a friend does to him. You know, I hope Gary gets well.
And it was David Cross, who plays Tobias in Arrested Development, they were just going to see, which is...
Oh, really? You know, that's cool. Yeah.
If you're into that kind of stuff, Gary. But yeah, get well soon, mate. I know you're listening to this, so all the best. But yeah, on to some other people who might not be too well. Mexico, Dan.
Controversial unboxing video.
I saw a few people put that, like, Mexico just unboxed aliens in 2023. I mean, let's kick off with that, right? Because we've got the big breaking news with the NASA UFO report stuff today, UAP report. Couple of little bits dropped today. The Monsters in California trailer we'll finish with, which is big news to some. We're interested in that. But yeah, Mexico a few days ago, Dan. I was working away yesterday. As we record this, it's Thursday the 14th. Wednesday the 13th, I was in Stockport for a meeting with my day job. And I woke up really early to get a train. And had messages from folks, WhatsApp messages, sending me links of Mexican officials wheeling out alien bodies live on TV. And I was like, surely not. Like, that's a bit left field. Just the day before, Dan, you'd mentioned when we recorded, we forgot to talk about an upcoming conference, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, that's fine. We'll touch on it in a couple of days' time. Lo and behold, here we are. So... When did you first get wind of this? I think it was a little bit after me, wasn't it?
The bodies thing, yes. You always wake up earlier than me. There's an AM, apparently.
I didn't know if it was going to be like 1 AM or something, though, and you would have seen it before you went to bed. You know, that kind of crossover, potentially, but that's obviously true. Whenever it happened was a bit wild.
No, and you know, as decent as my Spanish is becoming, I still can't fully understand when people are speaking at me without them slowing down. So it wouldn't be much use for me to sit there and watch it live.
J'adore la España. Yeah,
that's excellent.
That's awful German. Apologies, but yeah, back to Mexico. So essentially. And I think I have to get this straight because I met Graham Rendell for a coffee this morning and even he was saying, everyone's saying this was like Mexican Congress and it wasn't really. It was in that setting. It was in Congress in Mexico City, but it was just the setting and very much low-key figures politically, scientifically and journalistically in quotation marks.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same weight as the hearing that... The US had on UAP, you know, like, it's not it like the same kind of
if
setup.
If we rented Parliament?
Yeah, I mean, think of it that way. And then, you know, anyone that's in Parliament is free to come along, but it was more a presentation by ufologists.
Yeah.
I know some present will kind of hate me labeling it that, but that's a fairly good way to look at it, I think.
Contact in the Mexican desert, essentially. it was wild and it's still really surprising. I've had loads of people contacting me about it and obviously it's been all over social media. And to boil it down, it was a presentation. Avi Loeb was there. Ryan Graves was there. I always mispronounce his name. Is it Jamie Mawson?
I thought you were going to say Ryan then. I was like, I've heard you say Ryan's name right before.
Yeah, yeah, I get Ryan right.
But exactly the same. I kind of say Matt Mausen, but...
But he looks he's Mexican, but he doesn't look...
Let's go with Jamie.
Yeah, he looks like a stereotypical British old man.
He actually does, yeah.
And
right.
You always read his name as Jamie. So yeah, but Mexican journalist, he has been embroiled in issues before where he has rolled out quote-unquote alien bodies that turned out to be mummified children. And that's, if you hadn't heard of that before, that is a fact, isn't it, Dan? That, yeah, he done that. He's mistakenly wheeled out alien bodies in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bodies here, they were from 2018 in Peru. I did a little research kind of in the background. And I do have, I mean, I'm not going to go through them all, but I have in front of me a list of 44 different hoaxes that this guy was involved with.
Before we get to those, and again, I'm not making up my mind completely on this. We'll get to our thoughts.
I mean, this could be the one real thing that he does, right? Like, we've 100%. Gotta be balanced.
Absolutely, yeah. Probably not. They basically, in this presentation, it seemed, went from Ryan Graves talking about aviation safety, Avi Loeb doing what Avi Loeb does, to, okay, folks, next on the agenda, we have some mummified non-human corpses. Let's bring those out now. And like you say, literally unbox them live on camera. Small figures, I think I'm right in saying they're about 60 centimeters in length. Is that right?
I guess maybe smaller. Trust a man when he tells you a length.
Controversial comment. I might have to remove that.
That's about that. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, like it was an odd angle they were being shot at, and then you got lots of close-ups. You'll have seen the stills online, I'm sure. If you haven't, go and look. It's been all over worldwide news. And they basically claimed there had been academics, scientists, researchers looking at these corpses. Like you say, they were found in what's the name of the mine? Die something mine?
I can't remember, but one of the points of contention about this is that the exact location that they got them from hasn't been fully shared. So there's no chain of custody and things
like
that.
To be fair, Dan, I think that's consistent because it seems a lot of things that they should be sharing hasn't been fully shared. So
sure.
And that's not me being sarcastic. And if you think we're being a bit flippant here, this is pretty much the facts, folks. It's been vague in facts, and I think there's been some misinterpretations online. And even I struggled at times to find out, look, what exactly happened and what didn't. Yeah. What people assumed and what didn't happen. They brought out these bodies. They showed some presentation to say why these things were definitely alien, and they look alien when you look at it. It looks like what you think a 1,000-year-old mummified sort of grey being, ET-esque, might look like, but smaller. Yeah. They found them in a mine 4, 5, 6 years ago, preserved, and they have studied them since. Now, a lot of the data is lacking, and it seems to be very much, take my word for it, we have done this.
Yeah.
That seems to be how it's being portrayed.
The lab commented that did the work, and the lab basically, I was going to say revealed, but revealed sounds like a magic trick. The lab shared that, one, they weren't going to stand behind, you know, the statements that they were extraterrestrial. And they shared that, in fact, they were just provided 5 grams of material, never saw the bodies, never got to take the samples themselves. So they're essentially nudging people to realize they could have sent us anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be what you're seeing on the screen there. And they did the work and they provided the results. Those results have now been, shared, and the lab has distanced itself from the claim that they are extraterrestrials.
Yeah. I think, is it a lab at a university? And
yeah,
there's a
right.
spokesperson from the university.
Lima.
Was very much like you say, no, we're not putting our name to this. And there are people who have said this would be a mixture of paper mache and like canine skulls, and there could be bone, like real human bone or canine bone or whatever it may be from some time ago, made to put together, because in those areas, grave robbing is rife, you know, that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't be necessarily difficult to do this kind of thing, which is pretty awful. And again, whether or not, right, if these were genuine, let's say that, is Jay Mossum not one of the worst possible people you could pull forward to do that, given his previous with alien bodies being mummified children and being, you know, him misidentifying it, you don't then get that guy to wheel out the real alien bodies, do you?
Because yeah, it just exactly.
puts a huge red flag over the whole thing straight away.
I mean, there's probably people listening to this kind of saying, well, you know, if I was the government and I wanted plausible deniability, that's who I'd give them to. But I'm yeah. you. Like, it doesn't bring much confidence with it. You know, when, if ever the bodies are wheeled out for us and they're genuine, this raised an interesting debate that we've touched on before. But like, I wouldn't know what to look for genetically to identify whether it was a genuine body or not. So we're listening to experts, and that means that, you know, the bias is present in the analysis. So depending on who you listen to present things, you're going to get very different opinions, you know?
Yeah, just to read a tweet. So Ryan Graves, and we can't 100% confirm this, right, just because of the event and all. I've seen online that when those bodies were wheeled out, Ryan Graves stood up and left. I've not seen that with my own eyes, and you have not either, Dan, but it seems to be that Ryan Graves was not expecting this to happen. He did tweet on the day, I'll quote unquote, "After the US congressional UFO hearing, I accepted an invitation to testify before the Mexican Congress, hoping to keep up the momentum of government interest and pilot experiences with UAP. Unfortunately, yesterday's demonstration," talking about the Mexican alien bodies, "was a huge step backwards for this issue. My testimony centered on sharing my experience and the UAP reports I hear from commercial and military aircrew through ASA's Witness Program. I will continue to raise awareness of UAP as an urgent matter of aerospace safety, national security, and science, but I am deeply disappointed by this unsubstantiated stunt." And yes, he said stunt. So that's
pretty damning.
Yeah, that's pretty damning. I'm not surprised if he did get up and leave. I don't think Avi Loeb would have been particularly happy about being associated with what happened. I've not seen any quotes or comments from him either. It looks like a game of two halves here, where one, we've had the folks that we like hearing from, or, you know, generally folks like hearing from, and then they've went full Leroy Jenkins, as I put on Twitter, you know, from the old South Park episode, as we know it.
I was going to quote Tropic Thunder, but probably not the best
yeah,
quote.
Yeah, yeah. Great movie. But yeah, it was just, yeah. So for me, Dan, I can't see how this holds any weight, any credibility. I've seen folks like Gary Nolan be very skeptical about this online. He said himself, I believe, he had seen or studied some of the material around 1 year ago,
yeah,
and it was inconclusive then. So like you say, it could have been anything. And I could see him make some comments on the day. I'm just going to pause to cough. On the day, he replied to quite a lot of folks, which is great because you get that instant reaction and comment
yeah.
to say he was very curious and wary of a few of the details surrounding it as well, including x-ray pictures where they didn't understand why the density of what looked like eggs inside the body would have been denser than the body itself. And yeah,
yeah,
I just
right.
think a lot of things at a glance didn't, for that kind of eye, and I was waiting on, let me see the scientists and academics and researchers come out and tear it apart or stick up for it. And the only people I could see sticking up for it, and I get it, was people that were really hoping it was genuine or real. And then there were those who didn't, like you say, want to hear anything bad said about this because it seemed genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to remember as well, these are from 2018. You know, I've had a few people say to me, don't make conclusions on 24-hour data, which I agree with. But this is 2018 data, you know, like this has been around for a bit. So a lot of conversation is being generated by people who are new to the subject. And, you know, welcome to all.
By 2018, kind of, do you mean it was like 8:15? Like, yeah, I still would love to know, and I'm sure we will find out, how this event managed to get to that point, because that's a hell of a hand to show without people really knowing that was going to happen or any murmurings online of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
So out of the blue, wasn't it? And I'm still kind of shocked that it made it to that point without anyone knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I went on the Mexico subreddit just to kind of have a look at what people were saying. Yep. See, very good. Very good. Muy bien. And basically everyone, you know, the whole place was on fire. People were calling out, you know, Jamie for his endless number of stunts. and basically saying that they brought shame to the Mexican government. But also people were pointing out that the Mexican government is full of scandals anyway, so they weren't surprised that this kind of thing slipped through the cracks.
That's awful when any government is full of scandals, Dan.
Absolutely. But they were specifying, you know, stuff like, you know, financial fraud, things like that, which do take place in other places. But obviously with Mexico, we have the cartel and things like that, which I won't get into here. That's a whole other conversation. But suffice to say, the Mexican people felt, who were speaking on that thread, felt like they'd been embarrassed by the event, which I thought was very telling. You know, you always look to the locals to kind of get a read of the room. Gary Nolan's comment that he wouldn't look at it without better preliminary evidence was really interesting as well. He famously studied the Atacama skeleton with Stephen Greer and found that actually it was a small human child with a number of mutations and so on and so forth, and released that. And a lot of people didn't believe those tests either. Here we have the opposite kind of effect where, you know, people have studied it and people aren't believing that they're nothing. But I would just emphasize, remember that, you know, when people say the DNA is unknown, it doesn't necessarily mean it's an unknown species. It just means that the test said, I don't recognize this. So it could be anything from contamination to just, you know, someone put a bunch of different bits of DNA in and mixed them all up or something like that. You know, whole range of possibilities here that could be taking place that don't mean this is a genuine alien found in a mine.
Do you know what? I think after the last month with the David Grush story and some of the progress being made there, and I get not everyone is totally on board with that, but I think more people seem to be than not. I know we are, which is fair to say, but you know, that's fine because that's our opinion. This seems like today and yesterday, there's been a couple of body blows landed to the topic, and you've got to be able to say that without trying to make everything the most positive thing in the world, because the Mexico stuff, like Ryan Graves said, yeah, that's not a good look, and that's a I'm getting asked about it. They wheeled out alien bodies, and I'm having to say I don't think they did.
Do you think that, like, my worry is that Grush at the hearings talked about bodies, right? You know, there were a number of claims brought in. I worry that the casual folk that pay attention to this are going to hear, at hearing, someone spoke about bodies. At hearing, someone rolled out bodies. Yeah. And they're going to associate those two things when that's not the case at all. You know, these two things are not like one another.
Yeah, and see, for me, so either you've got that it's all coincidence, well, maybe three things. It's all coincidence. Second one being, you feed the conspiracy of, if you were the folks in the background looking to do their disinformation or just take advantage of a situation, then do you know what? Yeah, let's hoy out some really ridiculous looking bodies, and it will help discredit and hurt that story, because for me it has and does, like you say, especially to the casual eye and folks looking to get funding and more ears and eyes on this. And for number three, if you are a UFO researcher, investigator, journalist who really cares about this topic and you haven't done your due diligence and you have wheeled out those bodies, then single-handedly you have caused the hurt in the subject. And, you know, without saying his name wrong again, Jamie Mawson, that's a huge body blow to the UFO conversation. Yeah. And that is a setback.
Because not a lot of self-awareness, right? It was just very, even if they were real bodies, it was very amateurly done. Yeah. It just wasn't a good way to reveal anything of that nature, even if they were real.
Yeah. So, one word on it, Dan. Alien bodies, real or not?
I'm leaning towards, you know, 99.9% not real.
I think there's a good chance they're real. No. I just can't see it. There's too much points to know. I would be blown away. I would love if they were, but...
Yeah. And I think, you know, credit to some people in the community that they've held off. You know, they've been able to assess this in a balanced way. They haven't just gone running as folk like Nick West would think we would do. You know, we're all trying to kind of feel this out and take our time. One of the things to know, if you're not in the community, there's an outlet called Gaia, it's kind of like Netflix, but it's just to do with supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that they're behind funding all of this. Again, I'm not saying whether this is real or not. I'm just giving people the information. Do with it what you want.
But tune in tomorrow night to hear on Gaia people speaking to Palladian beings through channeling. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, I'd just like to say thank you to Gaia for sponsoring this episode. Next up, Black Knight satellite, Dan, is real. No. next up, the NASA report, like going to satellites. Good segue. NASA's long-awaited UAP preliminary study.
It's a mouthful.
Finally, thank you. Finally came out today. For us, not to sound like dickheads again, but it was as expected. And we've said, if you've listened to this more than once, you'll have heard us say, look, this is going to be what it's going to be. And is it fair to say, Dan, it came out and it's exactly what we thought it was going to be?
Yeah, 100%. For me, it was, you know, everyone was watching the online press event, which was like a half hour long or an hour long, and they just spoke about a whole bunch of things. But for me, the golden egg of today was the actual report, 36 pages of NASA's independent panel explaining, hey, if you were to give us the money to study UAP, this is what we would use to study it. This is what we would do. And these are the apparatus and the tools that we'll be deploying in the next 2 to 3 years that will help us do that. For me, that was really exciting. You know, they're taking it seriously. Put the NASA kind of history of maybe, you know, never straight answer cover-ups and things like that to the side. I feel like we had people with a genuine intent to shed some light on this problem, gathering these resources together and giving recommendations.
I felt bad about myself earlier thinking, given what I do and what I discuss on here, when I read that it doesn't stand for the North American Space Agency. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that is aeronautic.
I forget. ATIP all over again.
Yeah, I totally forget it's not the North American Space Agency. That's so lazy of me. So yeah, report was what I thought it was going to be. And when it was set out, folks, NASA as an organization isn't a person. It's a group and a body and offices, same as everything else. So there's no sympathy here. And I'm going to get on to why we're not sympathetic towards what happened today. But they did come out, and it was set up to look and see, is it a study worth doing and how would we do it? That's what this was all about. This wasn't, we're going to go looking for the back catalogue and the data and find where the aliens are and you know, the STS mission logs and stuff. That's not what it was, okay? So you have to put that to the side. The study was to look at, as Bill Nelson, NASA administrator, said, to look at how NASA could use their resources and tools to study UAP. One of his quotes was to shift from the sensational to the science. And again, I often say, and it's just my opinion, The UFO community is such a small community still, even though there are hundreds of thousands of people online. That's not the world. That's not everyone. Yeah. If you take it on Reddit and Twitter and Instagram and stuff. So what I've put it down to, Dan, is thinking that, remember in school when you'd done an exam and you'd have an equation.
We need like an analogy noise, like a button you compress, but it's analogy Boing. Time. Boing.
Yeah. Analogy. Analogy, one like that. So remember in school, and you would have an equation to do, and it would be like x plus y minus 7 brackets 2 to the power 4 equals whatever, solve for y. And you could look at it as a kid and go, oh, the answer's 9. And it would say it was worth 8 marks. And you'd be looking going, ah, but I know the answer's 9.
Sure.
And you couldn't work out how to do the working to get the 8 marks right. In the UFO community, we're looking at gimbal, go fast, any number of things, the Phoenix Lights, and going, ha, aliens, non-human intelligence, that's what it is. The scientific community are going, that's fine, but that's worth 1 mark. Where's the other 8?
Yes.
And what we need is for them to get on. I thought so. What we need is for them to get on board and help us do the working to show everyone else why we are right, that there's some of this stuff isn't human and is alien or NHI or crypto or whatever it might be. But we need them to come on board and help us do that middle part, which is the propulsion, the movement, why this, and this piece of evidence is the really good stuff. And I feel this is one way to do it. And it seems to be taking massive steps back in a way, but it's not really. It's just us having to kind of swallow our pride as a community and go, we need some folks from the outside to come in and give us a hand here. That's the way I'm kind of looking at it.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We have to show those workings. We have to be able to prove what we're saying. And even though, you know, you and I and other people in the community, we sit here all day, every day looking at this stuff, most people haven't done that. So you kind of have to, you know, roll out slowly, ABC, equals D. You know, that very, very simple stuff. And it's telling to me that we're now at a point where scientists are willing to look at the equation that we're looking at, you know, that we're saying this equals 9. And they're kind of going, oh, hey, let me actually help you work this out and look at some of these bits that you think might be right or might be wrong. What are you not sure of? So on and so forth. This is exciting. This is what we wanted, right? A proper study done with sincerity. Personally, I'm game. It sounded like NASA was kind of all in on this today. Before, this was just a preliminary study. Today, they announced they have a whole department dedicated to UAP with a head of that department already assigned. He's actually the liaison to Arrow. But
folks, don't turn off yet, folks. I'm about to be negative, so don't worry. This isn't all positive.
I might be about to say what you were going to say, the negative thing. Whereas, you know, it's great that they've kind of done that. For the whole press conference, they were talking about transparency, and then it turned out they're not even willing to share the guy's name.
But we know it's a guy.
We do know it's a guy, so we can pull all our females down on Guess Who.
Who he is. And it was like, ah, okay. So I wonder if even there she went, ah, no, I shouldn't have said that. Like,
yeah, probably. And I think we'll find out in due course. Like, there was a comment about something like, this has only happened in the past few days, and the person's role is going to be elevated from Arrow liaison to the department head here. So it might just be getting all the ducks in a row before they announce the name. But there certainly seemed to be an allusion towards trying to avoid this person being kind of bullied and harassed, not just from people online, but from colleagues in the actual academic community as well. That was shocking to me to hear that one panel member actually had colleagues coming at them via email.
I'm not surprised at that, because we saw that happen to Avi Loeb as well. You know,
well, I should say, not surprised that it happened, but surprised that it was harsh enough. You think that it's going to be a sensible conversation with scientists, because we talk about real scientists all the time. You know, they're always mentioned.
They're still just people.
And there's nowhere that scientists go to get a badge that have like a list of all the official scientists. We're just people. So, I'd say, you know, cut them a little bit of slack there, but I can understand the point as well.
And to be fair, we'll get to the journalistic questions that were asked, and there wasn't many good ones, to be fair. James Fox aside, one journalist did ask at the end, you know, on that, why can't... Actually, we'll get to that in a second, okay?
Sure. So,
important to remember, study team was independent. This wasn't all NASA scientists as part of a study. Bill Nelson reminds everyone, these were brought in as an outside group to help, which is a good way to do it. I work for Sky in the UK. People know that by now, right? I don't care about saying it.
You dox yourself.
Oh, so, yeah, great. So I work for Sky, and we have done it where we've brought in IBM to look at our computing systems, and they tell us what they think and how up to date they are, what we need to change. They ask questions that people in Sky wouldn't think of. Why did you do that? Why do you use that? And I was the liaison for that. And they would ask me, you know, why have you got 5 different systems for something that you could do one? And that's outside thinking, okay? So I get why they've done it. Bill Nelson, in his remarks, and he said this kind of stuff before, so this wasn't anything new, and I'm pretty much quoting him word for word. If you ask me, do I believe there's life in a universe that is so vast we can't comprehend how big it is? My opinion, the answer is yes. And he said that plenty of times. He believes there is alien life out there. Whether or not he thinks it is visiting here, he's never quite gone that far. One of the big pieces from this was that NASA has appointed a NASA director of UAP research, like you say, Dan. They are to oversee the implementation of UAP research. Part of that, and with NASA, is going to be working with other agencies, implementing AI and machine learning to search the skies and heavens for anomalies. And like you say, quite rightly, we'll be doing this transparently, except they won't give us the name of the guy who's in charge of it. That's not a good look, whatever we can try and dress it up. And do you know what? I get your point about that people get harassed and stuff online. Yeah, a journalist made a very fair point that if you're going to put yourself in a position in a public facing role, then you have to be prepared for that, rightly or wrongly. It's 2023. You're going to get crap. Don't start a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel or a TV career or a journalistic career, anything that's public facing in 2023, where you need any kind of social media presence, be it LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, etc., or stay off of all of those, and then think you'll get no pushback whatsoever. It happens to so many people. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. That's the wrong way. It's not right. But you can't go, we're going to be transparent, but because they might get some nasty messages, we're not going to tell you who it is, because that's not then the role for that person. In my opinion, give someone else that role who can completely remove themselves from that public facing sphere and go, do you know what? I'm not on social media. I don't check it. I don't care. I'm just going to do my job. And do you know what? I'm guessing they get paid well. So
I imagine they do. The only thing I'd say on that is, you know, there's criticism is one thing, but bullying and harassment is another. And, you know, like usual, the truth is kind of halfway between, but I don't entirely disagree. I just remember my journey in the community, you know, and it took me a little while to kind of get used to those people. And when I see those people, again, I'm not saying people that just disagree with me. I'm saying the ones that just spew vitriol at you, you know?
Yeah, I don't get that. No, I do. I just don't care. But again, it didn't even seem though that it was like the social media stuff. So if their own colleagues are causing this, then there you go, because they're going to know who that person is. And then are they going to get an email off the guy or the girl in the next cubicle going, huh, are you the alien guy now? Haha, that's crap. And I'd just be like, well, I'm getting paid 250k, so lol at you. I get it, but yeah, that's frustrating to go about transparency but not be transparent.
I wonder if NASA will, because surely, I mean, all the people there are really intelligent, so surely it wasn't just us that took that. I mean, true, but it wasn't just us that, you know, thought that, you know, that was almost like a whiplash, transparency whiplash. So I hope that maybe in the next day or two, NASA just put his name up there and just let us know who it is, because if it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, but people are talking about it, and it's a fair point.
And it was after that point, Dan, I felt things continued to go downhill a little bit. Again, I'll keep using the phrase, in my opinion, folks, you may disagree. However, I did put out a poll, Dan, asking folks what they thought about today's hearing. And you want to have a guess? I asked the question, the NASA study report and briefing was, and I put as expected, below expectation, above expectation, and other. So it's only been on a couple of hours, got 1,000 votes, 55% as expected. And a lot of the comments seem to be my expectations were low and they were met. The next is 37% below expectations. So that's us now on 92%. Yeah, 92% as it met expectation or was below. 3% above and 5% other. And some of the other comments are just people saying that it was a crushing blow to their soul. Things like that.
Those people are okay.
Yeah, it went downhill from there for me in terms of Bill Nelson lost a bit of credibility with me. And I think recently Senator Gillibrand, that happened with a lot of people with Gillibrand and a few other kind of politicians.
Was it the Grush figures thing?
Yeah, that really surprised me that Bill Nelson came across like he was talking about something different almost than what he was being asked in terms of David Grush's comments. And is it fair to say, Dan, it sounded like Bill Nelson, one, hadn't watched the hearings, but then also had heard about them kind of secondhand.
Yeah.
And was then answering a question based on, well, I've heard essentially, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill Nelson's answer was something like, because he was asked, you know, what about the recent whistleblower, David Grush, who's talked about essentially there being, you know, recovered UFO in a hangar somewhere. And he got a little bit dismissive. His tone changed. Now, we have not heard him talk about the UFO subject before. And he said, well, David Grush basically mentioned a friend of his told him that we had this. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And I was like, I didn't expect that from you.
Yeah, exactly. I would have expected a little more curiosity there. I understand him asking for the evidence, but it was like the change for me in how Bill was talking came across like, you know, when someone asks you a question, and you don't really know the answer, but you're going to pretend and you're just going to fill space with just random stuff that you've heard about. Like if you spoke to me about football, I don't really know about football because I don't follow it, but I'm going to engage in the conversation with you because I'm interested in what you have to say. And, you know, I followed it as a kid, so I know a little bit, but if I start speaking about it with authority, the confidence is going to be fake. And that's how it came across to me. Like he wasn't really sure what he was talking about, but he wanted to answer the question and not look like he just didn't know. But in fact, it almost came out worse than him just saying, I'm sorry, I don't know. I didn't watch it. And that's
like
not
defensive.
What
he went on the defensive a little bit as if it was detrimental to him. it almost reminded me some of how Seth Shostak talks about SETI sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
And how that's like the be-all and end-all of alien and UFO investigations, should the buck stops with him. And no one else should look, because he's looking, so don't bother looking, you know, like...
yeah, and you're right, defensive, because I guess Seth in those instances is defending his work, right? Like, you know, you take SETI away. If the aliens are here, what's SETI for?
Yeah, it was such a strange tone, and that really disappointed me in Bill Nelson, which again, when I say body blows to the subject, it's a little bit of a 1-2 in the last couple of days. I mentioned that for me, this wasn't NASA, and I know you saw this online, moving a chess piece. It felt like this was NASA getting the chessboard out of the box to just even start playing the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Checking if all the pieces are there, you know, how are we going to play this game? Maybe refreshing the rules.
Do we know how to play this game? Is this drafts?
Exactly.
They start doing the diagonal movements with all the pieces. It's like, oh, that's the wrong game. Yeah, don't be so doing that.
The horsey skips twice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Simpsons Chess was great back in the day.
What?
Moving on then to the journalistic questions, unless you've got anything else to cover on that, Dan.
No.
Very pleasantly, I perked up when I saw James Fox was front and centre of the queue.
Always nice to see your dad there.
Yeah, he looks so much like my dad. It's weird, folks. He does. I'm not going to post a picture of my dad online. Not that it's secret, right? But he looks like James Fox. It's so weird. When I went to meet my dad recently down south, not for the first time, but they live in Australia now. And it was just like, oh my God, you look so much like James Fox.
Did you keep calling him James?
I kept calling James Dad, which was worse. but no, it was really nice to see him there. Gutted Jeremy Corbell wasn't sitting behind him. That would have been the pièce de résistance, Jeremy and George sitting. But James Fox got himself in there. First question, wonderful. And he essentially asked about, you know, how do you confirm an unknown? How do you dismiss it not being non-human intelligence when we don't know what that would look like? And also, do they have a plan to tell people if they found something? The questions, that was the point I thought the questions fell apart. Because James was fine, but the answers got very political and it was all sound bites and, you know,
dancing round.
Yeah, we've been transparent. Like I said, we're going to tell you. That's it. There was no detail. It was so high level from everyone. And some of the questions were just a waste of time. I switched off a little bit, I won't lie, during the journalistic questions, because it just sounded like they hadn't thought them through.
Everyone was there to ask about aliens, I thought, and you know, the event wasn't about aliens, it was about the study plan, and it, you know, I found myself getting
there's ways
because we weren't
there's ways to ask it though, and you can still, because people love speculation, love speculation and going wild and all out, and we could do this and chat about all kinds of mental stuff every episode, right? But time and place and ways to bring stuff into a conversation.
Sure.
And we've seen that backfire massively when people who don't really know anything about the UFO topic interview people on the UFO topic.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And conversely, not to have digs at people because I'm not naming people, but look at when, and I will name this one because she's big enough and he's big enough, Linda Moulton Howe and Chris Mellon, two massive figures within the UFO topic and conversation, and it just seemed like two different worlds were colliding when they spoke to each other. And just forgive me, I forget, but remember she started asking about borderline Antarctic Nazi UFO alien bases and stuff, and Chris Mellon was like, this isn't my bag, you know. It was so strange to hear, and he was very political about it,
almost like rolling out fake bodies in front of Ryan Graves, you know?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. It's just like, it's not the time, not the place, not the audience. That seemed more of a UFO expo, insert name here.
Yeah.
Yeah, special dinner on the Friday evening, £500 gold ticket, and we've got a surprise for you, and somebody rocks out a couple of boxes of, you know, like Vlad and Mickey or Ryan's Toy World unboxing alien bodies for the kids. Such a strange one. But the answer's very political. A lot of things seem to come back to NASA's going to be transparent, but it just kept sticking with me, but you won't tell us the name of the new director of UAP research.
Yeah.
Almost like you shouldn't have even mentioned that was a thing. Or they should have said, we're in the early stages of appointing someone, but right now, given it's so early, we're not going to say who it is. What they said was, we've got one, but we're not telling you.
yeah, I guess it's a rock and a hard place. Really, they should have just been open about it. But maybe one of them thought, hey, we should probably ask him before putting his name out there. It might be a new thing. Plus, you know, we don't want to lie and say there's no one appointed when there is someone appointed, because when John Greenwald gets the FOIA that shows that he got the job a week ago, all hell's going to break loose. So probably rock and a hard place for them there. But also totally with you, because I totally understand, like, if you're saying you're being transparent, be transparent, you know?
Is this not the ideal organization to deal with between a rock and a hard place, given they are based on Earth and look for meteors, asteroids and such? They literally like deal that. With rock and a hard place as a living. So yeah, that for me was a bit of a, ooh, that was disappointing.
Yeah.
And like I said, the only
other
really
obvious fix, you know?
Only other question that was relevant for me was the journalist who asked about that lack of transparency straight away. And yeah, like you say, I get part of the argument and reasoning, but I don't think it's a strong one, given what they're trying to do. And do you almost again, and this might rile a couple of people up the wrong way, so be it, it's opinion, you're allowed them, that you're inviting more trolling and people going for that because, they don't want whoever's in this role to get any hassle or abuse, then I'm going to go out my way to do it because, I've got a keyboard and no one will know my name.
Yeah, precisely. And like I said, it was an easy thing to not do. I feel like they should have been a bit more prepared to just reveal who it was, you know?
Hindsight being 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else on that one for you, Dan?
I mean, loads. So I went through the 36-page report itself.
Oh, sorry, but the actual report.
NASA were recommending. And this is where the meat of the day was. I'd recommend everyone go read it. I say 36 pages. There are a lot of pages that are just taken up with an A4 size picture.
Yeah. I mean, the first couple of pages are like, this as a report.
Exactly. So basically what was proposed is that, one, they use modern crowdsourcing methods to make smartphone apps and gather data all around the world. They were complaining that there's such a stigma that it's actually really hard to gather decent data and catalog it properly and maintain it. So they were proposing some decent structures for that data, and that NASA were well placed to kind of house that data so scientists could access it from all around the world. Similar to the black hole picture that was taken, NASA helped kind of make those systems, and we had 5 or 6 systems with terabytes of data. Great suggestion.
And it's still bloody.
And it's still blurry, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were specifying satellites that are up there now that could be used to kind of retroactively look at sightings. Mm-hmm. And it says that even though they don't know what a fingerprint of a UAP looks like, you can kind of go about it the other way as well by kind of defining all the things we do know. And if there's something that doesn't fit, that's an anomaly.
Yeah, exactly. Like something like matrix code, when they're looking at the matrix code and they goes, that looks weird, that's not right. It's an agent.
So they can build a database of known things and compare everything. They can even do it to a point where, you know, if you or I saw something last night at 8 p.m. and we knew where we were, we'd be able to go on and check, and NASA would be able to provide, you know, there wasn't any planes there. There was a satellite going over. It might have been that.
That's what I'm thinking.
There should be some simple interfaces.
Phoenix Lights, 97, you know, there were really good satellites. There was good sensor data. Is there something over Phoenix, Arizona that would point to something entering the atmosphere, leaving the atmosphere? You know, we know when it happened. Can they go back even that far and spot something?
Yeah. I mean, if there was a satellite over there, then, you know, there's no reason why they can't. And it's nice to see them flag that up. We also have the large sky surveys with the telescopes that, you know, looking at mapping the whole of the Northern Hemisphere, the Vera Rubin Observatory that Avi Loeb loves so much, and he mentions it a lot. That's one example. So we can use those things to also apply those to the UAP problem. We're looking at the NEXRAD Doppler radar network. That's 160 weather radars operated by the FAA, the Air Force, the National Weather Service. They can all feed into this system. I won't bore you with all the names, but they basically go through a lot. And the thing that stood out for me here was, you can almost tell by the tools that someone uses, the way that they're thinking, you know, the path that they kind of intend to go down. And a lot of these tools identified were under the ocean, and they were looking at outer space, not just, you know, near Earth objects, but outer space. So it's fair to say that NASA is applying, you know, all the tools it can find and taking this transmedium aspect of the phenomena seriously. But one of the things I didn't expect, and I haven't heard anyone else say, And NASA do give some reasons for this. They kind of set out and say, well, over the whole planet, there's a lot of air traffic, there's a lot of human activity, and that's a lot of noise in the data.
Mm-hmm.
One of the places that doesn't have a lot of human activity and doesn't have a lot of flights passing over, and therefore would be good to set up some sensors, is Antarctica, which I thought was really interesting that they've put the flag there, considering, you know, that means something very different to people in the UFO world. It's not just a good place to study because there's nothing there. It's a great place to hide stuff because there's nothing there. And there's a lot of history and activity associated with Antarctica.
Linda Moulton Howe and Tom DeLonge will be buzzing.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. I was glad you brought that up earlier because I just found it fascinating that it was there. And I know that I might be reading it in a different way, but again, I'm just pointing out the facts so that people can, make up their own minds.
Did Tom not allude to there being an underground pyramid there that's shooting out energy or harvesting some
that,
kind of...
That was Alaska.
Alaska.
But there are reports of a similar thing being in Antarctica. And he might have, I might be wrong.
Don't make me feel better. I was wrong. I'll take that back. I can
and
cut it out.
That did play
good,
into the Blue Book series on history, you know, the fictional one.
I loved it.
So it's a myth. It's there. It's in the mythos. So, yeah, NASA identifying all these places. Antarctica is one of them, which, you know, was massive to me. So I'm thinking in the next, year or so, we should end up with a NASA application that we can use to kind of whip out our phones if we see something strange in the sky, and it'll give us all the information we need and feedback into their database as well. One of the things that stood out to me as weird is in the report, they kind of have a few pictures of UAP. Mm-hmm. That have been revealed over the last, since 2017. Yeah. A lot of them are just labeled, they're just comments on them. They're not saying what they are. They're just comments on them. Fair enough. But then you get to GoFast at the end of the paper, one of the three videos released in 2017. And it paints the picture of basically the GoFast not going fast and that it's a slow object. It doesn't move that fast. The parallax effect that always comes up with it. And there's a little footnote mentioned on there. And the footnote says that this assessment was given to them by Sean Kirkpatrick at the last briefing in May. Now, if you look at the Arrow website says that that's not resolved to any confident level, So it's almost like they're quoting Arrow, but quoting them wrong. But then even Arrow is presenting this information way back then. Yeah. And now they're turning around and saying, actually, this is unresolved. So they're not even satisfied by that answer. So I'm a bit perturbed as to why it's even in the paper, to be honest. But there was a really nice quote right at the end of the paper that I liked, and I just like to read as we're kind of wrapping up, I guess. But they said, at this point, there is no reason to conclude that existing UAP reports have an extraterrestrial source. However, if we acknowledge that as one possibility, then these objects must have traveled through our solar system to get here. Just as the galaxy does not stop at the outskirts of the solar system also includes Earth and its environs. Thus, there's an intellectual continuum between extrasolar technosignatures, solar system SETI, and potential unknown alien technology operating in the Earth's atmosphere. If we recognize the plausibility of any of these, then we should recognize that all are at least plausible. That was an encouraging statement to me, because it essentially says we can't take aliens off the table. All these things are possible. We just have to do the work. And I think that's a really positive place to be. As much as the transparency thing happened and, they need to get their ducks in a row a bit, I think finishing the report by saying it's possible these things are aliens, but we found no evidence so far. We're going to keep doing the work. I think that's fair.
They've not got to Mexico just yet. Very quickly, before we wrap up, James Fox recently read a couple of letters out from sources he's been talking to. We know James has been doing a lot of interviews, and he's mentioned himself that he's spoken to a lot of whistleblowers who have apparently already came forward to speak behind the scenes. He read out one from a first-hand whistleblower who is potentially coming forward before the end of the year that worked on crash retrieval programs. Interesting to see. Again, I think we have to wait and see. I don't know how much the David Grush situation will or won't affect folks coming forward. And then does the Mexican stuff affect folks coming forward who maybe don't want to be publicly tarred with that brush at the minute?
Yeah.
Because it could be that bad that it hurts the things that much. Tim Burchett, who was quoted recently, and it was from a TV journalist, and I've deleted the picture, But the guy had basically spoke to Tim Burchett, who said, yeah, there are going to be more UAP hearings. Speaker McCarthy apparently told him that. So there should still be more hearings, even though we heard to the contrary, potentially, which is positive news. And Dan, on a positive note to end, the long, long awaited Tom DeLonge vehicle.
The DeLonge way round.
Monsters in California, feature length movie from the imagination of Blink-182's Tom DeLonge, is finally getting a release date, and it's October 6th.
Limited
theatrical release, but on demand. So I think people can get that straight away, hopefully, when that comes out. Can I just read the synopsis of it? Because we've mentioned it a few times, and the original trailer's been out there now for over a year, I think. After discovering research left behind by a missing government agent, Dallas Edwards and his misfit high school friends embark on a righteous and dangerous adventure to uncover a paranormal conspiracy in Southern California that brings them face to face with some of the government's most guarded mysteries. I'm looking forward, Dan, to this, and as I know you will be, because we're expecting, surely, and I'm speaking for everyone here, this to have a lot of what Tom DeLonge has heard or surmised about the UFO topic that he's talked about over the years or that he's gained from other folks, and he's going to put it out there in public in the form of a feature film. Yeah, is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. In the trailer, so before we jumped on here, I was pouring through the trailer just frame by frame looking for some cool things because that's what I do, and there was a particular shot that kind of has, you know, the red string on a bunch of things connecting it and kind of making the case, which I assume the kids in this film will do at some point. And right there, there's kind of a graphic that says the others and is labeled with demons, archons, asuras, jinn, angels, devas, asparas, malak. And then it has around it all the different religions of the world. Then around that, it has consciousness and quantum mechanics. And there's a little post-it note right there that says, proxy war, battle for souls happening now, with now underlined, which is, if you've been following this, a lot of what Tom has been talking about. So I think, you know, what you just said is exactly accurate, and we can just stand to see more of this stuff. But it looks like a fun vehicle to get people on board, and hopefully folk enjoy it. You know, it's not the first film Tom's been involved with. If you like the look of this, go back and watch a film called Love, which was all about a guy in the International Space Station watching the planet obliterate itself and then reflecting on life and the universe as we know it. And that one's not as, you know, lighthearted, but it's wonderful. If you like lofty sci-fi like 2001 and things like that, go watch it. And it's got some really cool music in it as well.
Yeah, I like the remix of Aliens Exist, which plays over.
Sounds dope.
Yeah, I like that. Kind of a little bit more almost sinister tone to it. It's got the DeLonge humor that you would expect from being a Blink-182 fan, Angels in the Airwaves, all that stuff over the years following Tom DeLonge. It looks like it's a kind of grown-up Scooby-Doo with the UFO mystery
guy.
That's
a good way to put it.
Yeah, like that's the way it looks to me. Looking forward to it. Hopefully lots of Easter eggs in there for the UFO community. And yeah, that's coming out October 6th. So look forward to that. Do a full breakdown when that one comes out and review of the movie and everything. So feel that's relevant. But yeah.
A quick mention as well. There was another film that was out last week that I really recommend people go watch. It's a little off the beaten path of this subject, but definitely UAP adjacent.
Barbie.
It's called The Unbinding, from the same guys that did the Hellier documentary series, if people have watched that. All about kind of synchronicities and weirdness. This one in particular is about haunted objects. Now, a lot of people are going to kind of go, oh, objects aren't haunted, you know. And that's what this film is about. It's about kind of authenticating something, the weirdness that surrounds it, why that might happen, and the baggage that humans bring to these experiences. And it was fascinating. I'd highly recommend it.
Dan, I'm going to have to head now, folks. Much apologies. I've got Jamie Mawson outside my door to unbox some more aliens, so I better head off. Thank you very much, Dan, for joining me. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And speak very soon. That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show out on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a Tic Tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little rain. Imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I helped out my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should scare me, and I don't know what to do because it doesn't really scare me. If you really want to know who I think they'd be, then it's you and me and us and we and him and her and that and she and that thing over there. And what's that, Jake? Your heart, consider time, consider your space, consider your lies, consider your life, consider your eyes.